After the closing jingle of this week's podcast, you're going to find the interview with Adam Richman. He is the host of Food That Built America. It's really, really a cool show on History Channel if you haven't seen it. Also, Modern Marvels. He's all over TV. So we'll be talking with Adam coming up again right after the closing jingle.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind. So they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast.
The podcast. The podcast.
The podcast.
Big D and Bubba podcast. The podcast. The podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast.
And the podcast is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Thank you, O'Reilly Auto Parts, as we're here in your wonderful, beautiful studio that you sponsor. Better parts, better prices. Every day at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
And she said, this is what you get. And she's a good-sized lady. I said, okay.
Like,
she's a good-sized lady.
Like, some guy is telling a story, and he had to add. Now, why do you have to add that she's a good-sized lady?
I mean,
what did that add to the story?
And she said, this is what you get.
Description?
She's a good-sized lady. I said, okay.
What happened?
I'll just check and see if audio is working.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. I don't think it is.
Yeah, we're trying something a little bit different today. So for those of you who are watching online, hopefully, you know, it's all working out well for you. I don't know.
Nothing. No audio at all.
No audio at all.
Unplug and replug.
Got it. How about now?
That
we'll
fixed everything.
Yep,
it just fixed it. All right. Sorry about that.
And now we know.
Yeah.
That's the new trick. We need to remember that every time we hit
start
for
Facebook.
It resets it for some goofy reason. Well, anyway, we're good to go.
And she said, this is what you get. And she's a good-sized lady. I said, okay.
Mm-hmm. Working.
Okay.
Okay, good. Thank you.
So right before we did this, Big D's trying to set up his phone. And he's like, oh, let me go ahead and log in because we're trying to do this little camera control. He forgot. Big D has not been on Facebook in how long?
I mean, I'll check it every once in a while, but
not from your phone, though, right?
Like 2 years.
Okay, so it's two
Something
years
like
since he's
been
really
on your phone.
Yeah.
Wow.
So 2 years since he's had it on his phone. So he's trying to set it up. Well, he couldn't remember his password. So he's like, Bubba, what's yours? And I'm like, I am not.
I don't know why. Like, dude.
Big D got all upset. He's like, what?
You don't trust him to give you your password?
No, dude. That dude, I have known him way too long.
What's that supposed to mean?
I don't know.
Dude, that means your reputation precedes you. That's what that means.
I wouldn't give you my password.
What I'm saying.
I don't want to be on Bubba's side usually, but I don't want to.
No way in the world I would be giving you my login and having you have access to everything, posting new pictures on behalf of me, telling people things on behalf of me. None of that would ever happen.
No.
I'm like, no, man. I have my wife set up as the person for the legacy thing, and that's the only person that has any access.
You know who has my legacy information?
Your ex.
No, my buddy Drew, and I have his. We made a pact years ago, like to keep and just occasionally post something like we never died. Just hey, everybody.
Well, I had
great Tuesday.
I had stuff set up a long time ago on one of those little auto post sites where, like, you know, you do whatever and you can move it. So I had it moved way down the road. So, like, strangely, oddly, 45, 50, 60, 70 years from now, somebody's gonna get a tweet or a text from me, and it'll be kind of funny.
Yeah, I guess I didn't even realize that was a thing. I just never even I thought about it.
There's stuff like you can set up, like you can set up deliver flowers every year on your anniversary or the wife's birthday or whatever. I mean, there's all kinds of weird stuff that you can do. The internet's cool.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden I care what my hair looks like on this stupid camera because it's got me in a weird angle.
Finally, we have him.
You
finally
look good. It's good. It's a good angle on you.
We finally have him caring about his hair. This is a good day.
That's a real important thing on the radio show and podcast that we should worry about what our
everything's
hair looks like.
Man, everything's video now. You know that? It's all video. If you're not doing the video stuff, you're missing it, man. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
You know, so
I don't have to like it.
Why?
Because I don't have to like it. No,
this is
I don't.
The way it is. Your hair does look good. I'm finally looking. Yeah, you look great.
It looked stupid before.
The switcher's fine. Everything looks good.
Yeah, it looks great. It looks beautiful.
Yeah.
There was one shot a minute ago where it was just your face really close.
That yeah, I know. Weird. I did that.
You did that on purpose?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's a good shot.
I think it's cool because like it lets people see the studio from different angles and all that kind of stuff. If you're listening to the podcast, go and check our Facebook page out. Just look for Big D and Bubba. It's got a little blue verified check mark. Like, follow the whole thing. That way we're all included and you can see the video and all that. Yeah. And we do the podcast actually live on Facebook every week.
If we're talking about cameras, I would rather this be here because I feel like I should be looking at it instead of looking at y'all. And if it was here, I could kind of do both. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
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 It's just small details.
That's right. It's small details.
Yeah. I'm just saying, while we're tweaking it.
I put it over there just to keep it out of the way of your microphone.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if it was over here by where Tanuki is, in that area, it would still be away from my microphone. Yeah.
We have a Japanese...
raccoon dog.
Possibly haunted, possibly possessed statue.
Absolutely.
We think this statue is over 100 years old, right?
Well, yeah, whenever we got it, like we bought it at a, it was like an antique sale on the base over at Camp Zama. Was it at Camp Zama? Yes, it was. And we got it, and they were like, when we brought it back, they were all like, oh, my gosh, that's a real old one. The styling of it is the old way.
Because they make new ones. It looks,
but they're goofier looking.
Yeah, they're kind of cartoonish.
Yes.
And this one looks like it's straight from the Brady Bunch in Hawaii. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like his little balls are like just one.
Don't say that.
Well, he's got a little pouch on the bottom.
Patrick, lift it up.
Well, that's
no,
Tanuki.
I'm lowering it so you can see his face.
All I see is Tanuki tooties.
Yeah.
That's what I see. It looks like anyway, Tanuki is great. We have this, it's a beautiful little statue. It brings you good luck.
Now it's full Monty on it now. Well, Patrick,
that's the way it's supposed to be. So it brings you good luck. So what you're supposed to do when you walk into a room or a restaurant or whatever, mm-hmm. you can rub his nether region and it brings you good luck.
I'm not sure we should tell people that come in here to do that. I feel like that's an HR issue.
Yeah, I don't want everybody touching him anyway.
Like, oh, and for good luck, you could touch his little Tanuki parts. I don't think that's a good idea. I really don't.
Tanuki parts.
I'm just saying. Yeah. Well, Tanuki, I'm going to put you over here.
Yeah, that was a great trip, man. That was one of those, I don't know.
It was a USO trip, and I saw somebody was leaving to go on one 2 days
ago.
Yeah. Yeah, they're doing a USO tour again, actually traveling out of the country to go somewhere. And I was like, man, we need to get back on that.
Yeah, I'm sure the first people they're going to call when they start doing USO tours again will be us.
I want to say it was somebody, I think it was one of the football players from, I don't remember what team or whatever, but I saw it and I was like, oh, that's so great, man. They're doing it again. I would like to do that again. I'm just saying.
Yes, we all know.
There are some great places we need to go. Guam would be fantastic.
Oh, God, here we go.
Alaska would be fantastic.
Could you wait to just spend 4 or 5 days in a row with us, Steve? With nonstop?
You miss it. I was telling somebody the other day. That's the one thing that I think, you know, all these people like Carson, she's not here right now. She had to leave. She wasn't really feeling great. But Carson's like, her thing is that she just wants concerts back. And I'm like, concerts are great and everything, but travel, free will to travel and do whatever you want and go wherever you want and just whatever is that's a big deal. I want to be able to do international travel. I know my daughter's trying to plan a trip to Germany this summer, and I'm like, I don't know if you're going to be able to go. But she's been working and saving her money for it, so I'm like, keep it up. You never know. I still think everything and this is just my opinion. I think everything is going to open up by September, October, November, because that's when first of all, you got football season and everybody's going to want to be back. They're like, okay, we gave you one season. We want it back for next year. But I think that most people in general, if you look at all the concerts and all the things that they're moving to and all the movies that are slated to be released this year, everything's been moved to those dates, September, October, November. Mm-hmm. So it tells me that somebody knows something.
Yeah, they're just making a guess like anybody else. They're just making an educated guess.
So one person made the guess and everybody else is following like
pretty
lemmings?
Much. Listen, they don't let me make that guess, because if you'd have asked me last March, I would never guess we'd be in this a year later.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no.
I thought we were just trying to flatten the curve, and that was...
Sucker.
I fell for that one.
I think you did.
The problem is that we, you know, they keep us hanging. It's always 2 weeks more, a little bit more, just a little bit more. They never, if they'd have told us,
hey, when we get a vaccine, then things will open up.
That'll change everything. Yeah, that's the thing, is this whole thing is open-ended. There is no answer, no end in sight at all. And because they say, oh, if you get a vaccine, you still got to wear your mask. So all they've done is just kick it down the road further and further, and eventually people are going to get tired of kicking the can.
People are going to get tired.
No, but there's some people that are still like
Tracy was telling me that
Tracy Lawrence.
I'm sorry,
what a name dropper.
Well, Tracy,
you could have just let it be a friend of mine, but he was talking about people, the trend of people building bars in their garages and like putting in a couch with a TV and a couple of extra stools and a beer on tap and the whole thing, to have a place outside of the house that they can hang out with their friend, with the neighbors. And that this has become like a big thing in neighborhoods. Of course it has, because people just want to get out and want to get away. I know people who work from home who are single, and they are just lonely and miserable because they never go anywhere and they never see anybody. And they never, now you used to at least go to an office. Now you don't do that. It's sad, man. I'll tell you this. This company, I'm not going to say the name of it.
There is a company somewhere.
There's a company that did this big announcement this week that they're obliterating the 9-to-5 workday. So their employees will be able to work their 40 hours a week whenever they want.
Whatever 40. You could do all 40 over two days and you're done?
The problem with that is when you take away work hours, static work hours, you work all the time. Your boss can call you whenever they want. Mm-hmm. My father used to work from 5 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. every day. But when he came home, that was it. He was home. Nobody called him. Nobody emailed him. Nobody sent him text messages. He was at home. And now you go home and it's,
that was the genius of salary. Like, I remember when I first got into radio, I was, you know, that everybody always tells you, you got to put in extra time, you got to pay your dues, the whole thing. So I would be working 120-hour weeks and just doing anything and everything I could. Big D, you know, you would spend hours in the production room where you make your commercials and sound effects all that kind of stuff. You would spend hours after your show, you would stay in that room. And then somebody would be like, hey, man, I really have to cut something. But you would wait for them to finish so you could get back in. And it was like slave labor. Because I know my first full-time job, I made $750 a month. And I was working 120 hours a week. Easy. I don't even know. Might have been more. It was crazy. I mean, there's many nights I slept there.
For better and worse, though, you can't do that anymore. You can't. They won't let you. I mean, they tried to come down on me 20 years ago when I was working more hours than I was supposed to.
I remember that.
Yeah. I mean, because I want to be there, so I'll lie. I don't care. You know, I'll be there 50 hours a week, but I'll put 35 on my timesheet. But, I mean, there are laws to stop that kind of stuff from happening, but people do it all the time. So, I don't know.
I mean,
we're just getting into a...
We just come in. It's weird because, you know, everybody thinks that we come in, do the show, and leave. Oh, you show up at 5 and you leave at 10. It's not the case. I mean, look, we're here now, and it's, you know, later. So we're here usually until, what do you think, Patrick? I'm here usually until about 12:30 or 1 every single day, minimum.
On a good day.
That's what I'm saying, minimum. Because I'm just always looking for things to add to the show, whether it's background music or
Bubba's
silly
looking
things.
For things to keep him from going back to his house. That's what Bubba's doing.
I like to be busy.
Bubba was just, you know, I was finding ways to find stuff to do.
Big D will leave as soon as the first chance he gets, he's out. Mm-hmm. And we all know that. Are we done?
He's gone.
Anything else? We got anything else? Is there something else that we can do? What else can we do? Listen, I'm in. If we have it, I'm in. I'll do it. We have long days. We're going to do stuff, and it's going to take a while.
Yeah,
I know that. I don't know why. I know that.
If Emma Smith on the screen just now. I'm sorry about that.
What happened?
I posted Emma Smith's name under me for some reason.
Hi, Emma. So he's playing around with the program.
All right.
But hi, Emma. You're cute.
Thanks.
But no, so.
Is that a name you just made up?
No, it's part of the.
It's like a placeholder type thing. There you are, jewelry maker and crafter. You're,
what?
Yeah, so it popped up as. Actually, you know what? It's not that far off. It's not that far off.
Candle maker.
He is a candle maker. He is
meat master.
The master of meat.
The master of meat.
I don't like either one of those. Actually,
you don't want to be master of meat.
Those are both. Those are both very unfortunate names.
I don't know. I kind of like master of meat.
I do think it should say master of meat.
I think every dude would like to be the master of meat.
Okay.
Well, speaking of meat and food, we've got what's the guy's name? From History Channel,
Adam Richman.
Yeah, Adam Richman. He did Man versus Food, kind of the. It was a show where these restaurants. Okay, if you eat 72-ounce steak, in a minute, in a minute, then you get to.
I just shocked the living crap out of myself.
Did you really?
My God. Apparently, you can shock yourself with this thing, and it still hurts. Like, my left hand is,
What did you do?
I shocked myself with the electric lighter.
Oh, yeah, show that light. That's a pretty sweet lighter.
I have one at home now because I love it so much. It's a plasma lighter.
Yes.
A plasma lighter.
So the wind doesn't put it out. The water doesn't put it out. It's just always.
You get your fingertip in there, and it will.
Oh, yeah, duh. It'll light a fire.
I feel like I got tased on the fingertip. It's terrible.
Oh, it's just children. Just finger children.
Here, D, try it.
Yeah, here, stick your tongue out.
That's when you know.
Dude, guys do. Dumbest stuff, man.
Oh, we told the story today about, that we still won't tell on the air on the podcast, about the nasty thing you did for $100.
Oh,
and some guy guessed it right.
I got it. He texted
it. Bubba's very vague.
And I was as vague as could be. And this guy texted him and said, "Did you do the this place?
Did you lick the blank off the blank at the blank?" And they were like, "What? How?"
I'm telling you, those pictures are still out there. Somewhere, somebody got a picture of that. I wish I would pay money for the grossest thing I've ever seen in my life. I wish it exists. I know the guy who took the photograph, but he said he lost that camera because it was back when you still had cameras.
Cameras. A real digital camera.
Yeah, it was like he had to download the pictures, if I remember. Like do you guys remember the old cameras? They were the disc cameras.
Mm-hmm. Kodak disc.
The first time I ever saw one of those? The radio station that I worked for at the time wanted me to go get off the interstate at this weird spot and take a picture of a billboard of the competition of the station across town.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what the billboard was?
What?
It was y'all. It was a picture. I was sent on a mission by Chris Wegman to get a picture of a billboard of the two of you.
Why?
I don't know why. He didn't tell me why. But it was like, hey, you on the clock? I got a job for you. Go off and do.
It was probably when he was trying to hire us and probably made it
part of the mission.
Yeah, because this would have been, you guys started working there in like May of 1999. And so this would have been in 98 sometime, maybe. I don't know.
That's crazy, man. So
it was a billboard in Baton Rouge off the interstate near between College and.
Segan?
The other way.
Acadian.
Acadian, yeah. So, and I don't think I got off the interstate. I had to go to because you don't know, where are the billboards? You see them from the interstate, but how do you get to the spot to take a picture of that without being on the interstate? So I had to go through the backwoods of a neighborhood to get to this spot where I could, and it was the camera was square because it had a 3.5-inch floppy disk in it to take the picture.
Yeah.
So it was about 6 inches by 5 inches, the camera, this big thing. It's the only time I've ever used a camera, and I thought that was some high-tech crap. I'm like, look at this camera.
Remember those big...
You tell me the camera's putting a picture on this floppy disk? No. We are in the future. We're going to have flying cars in like seven, 8 years.
I was going to say, wouldn't it be cool to hide like a disk camera like that inside one of those kids? You know those little Viewmasters that you used to have when you were a kid?
Yeah.
The big red thing?
And yeah.
Wouldn't it be cool to like hide a digital camera in that so you look like
you're
Yeah, we talked
about Viewmaster on the last podcast.
Did we?
Yeah, like what are the chances of that? Coming
yeah,
up
yeah,
twice.
We did. We're talking about toys.
Old toys. Yeah.
Oh, see, I don't remember toys. That. Weird. Maybe it was just in the back of my mind.
Then they used to have the camera that was a what was it? It was square. Well, this is back in the 80s. And I think you took the picture. It was like a disposable almost, and then you sent it off. Do you guys remember what
those
that was?
Those were disposable. That was the little ones you pick up from the drugstore or whatever.
No, man,
you can
I forget.
Get the waterproof
maybe
one.
It was.
They had the Kodak and the Fujis.
Oh, you can still do that. They still have those.
Yeah, I know. My daughter loves those. Like every time she goes to the beach or the pool or whatever, she brings one of those. So she and her friends, for some reason, they think it's cool. Only at the pool to have those pictures. Like, the quality is so wonky. You don't know the framing. You don't know anything.
There's something about owning things, though, that we're going to lose.
Having physical stuff?
Yes,
or are you talking about just in general?
Just in general.
Everything's gone to subscription.
I was talking to a friend of mine last night about this. I used to have a 6 foot by like 4 foot tall rack for my CDs. It held like 400 CDs, and it was a display item. I worked in radio, so I wanted you to see that I had 400 CDs when you came to my house.
It's impressive.
And it was impressive. Most people had 20 CDs.
Yours were all free.
Of course they were. But you put that in your living room to show it off, and then you did the same thing with DVDs when DVDs became a thing. And yeah, we've all gotten away from that because all music is streaming, except that it's not. And they can.
There are a lot of things that we can't get.
They can take things off of line very easily.
Oh, like with Morgan?
Like, what's to stop the next person that they get mad at for who knows why to just get boom and they're gone from all those services? Not just the playlist, but can't stream them either.
So, technically, does this make Garth Brooks a genius for controlling the distribution of his stuff?
No, I don't want to get into that, but I still think he should be on everything else. I think that was a mistake.
I agree. You know. I think he missed out on
absolutely
not that he needed the money, but he
it
missed out.
It wasn't just
out.
The money, it's the exposure. People under the age of 25 have never.
You say that didn't miss out on the money, but think of the songwriters that wrote the songs that missed out on the money from streaming from Garth Brooks.
I don't know how much money there is in that either, but yeah.
There's money in it.
I think that was a mistake, but what I'm talking about is. You think all the movies are available somewhere online, even if you have to pay for it, but some stuff's not. I found myself looking for movies from the 80s or 90s that I can't find on any service.
Time to dive
anywhere into
the torrents.
And I'm like, if you have something that you love, if it's a CD, if it's a book, if it's a movie, you should have a physical copy of it. Don't get rid of that stuff. And you'll
What's
see.
It's a torrent, by the way.
Like
you just go like to
the
back pages.
Yeah, something only Bubba would say.
Everything is available somewhere.
Not only do you not know how to get there, you didn't know what he meant. So that's just proof.
I thought he mispronounced a word that I knew.
Torrents. Go check the
Torrents.
Are you saying
Terrence? Go to Terrence.
Terrence,
the
guy.
Yeah.
No, torque. He meant like when you're in your truck and.
Like. You're talking about when you're trying to pull your tow package?
Yeah. Yeah, how much torque you got.
Yeah,
that's what he meant.
That's exactly what I was talking about.
Piled DVDs into the back of your truck.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to get back around to introducing the guest. Man versus Food.
Adam Richmond.
Like, yeah. This is the part where Big D wraps it up.
So he did Man versus Food. He also has Modern Marvels. Is another show he's on, and Food That Built America.
I asked him about that, and he said, I swear the story was that he had to quit doing Man versus Food for health reasons.
I did too, and he said
it was a rumor,
like an internet thing or something. But
really,
I used to think that's got to be the best job ever. You're telling me We're going to do a TV show where you follow me around and we just take on food challenges. Hey, can you eat this 8-pound burrito? Yes, I can. You know,
man, I'm good.
Like the best job ever.
I'm always good, by the way, with those challenges, whether it be steak or a burrito or a pizza or whatever. I'm always good with the main course where they get me. And where they get everybody, really, is all the sides that go with it.
Well, no, because some of the places don't have sides. It depends on what you're doing. But what gets me is either nasty stuff or hot stuff. Like, nobody can eat 10 of these wings because they're so hot, they make your skin bleed.
Oh, I could do it. You know? I could do it. I'd be bleeding after, but it wouldn't be my skin.
I don't want to do that. I used to eat, man, back in the day when I was in my 20s, dude. I could put chicken wings away with
this was the standard.
Reckless abandon.
Me and you, and actually it was me and Glenn back in the day, we would always go get, my old roommate, we would always go get 50 wings. It was always 50 wings. And we could knock that out, boom. And then we was like, you want another one? I don't know, let's get a couple beers first. We'd have a couple beers and go, let's do another one. We would knock out 50 wings each, basically.
I ate 50 wings every time I went to the wing place.
But sadly, that's why I'm probably where I am now, because I used to be skinny back then.
Yeah, it's not the same. Now I eat 20 wings, and I feel like somebody's kicking me in the back of the stomach. Like, oh, God.
I don't get that. I'm still in the 20 range.
Anyway, Man vs. Food, it was a show. And people, he would go in and they'd be like, oh, you can't eat all this. And he would, and blah, blah, blah. It was a thing. He had many seasons with that show. Mm-hmm. And then he's done a thing where he kind of follows the manufacturers of everyday foods that you already know.
Yeah.
No, you're thinking he's following. You haven't watched the show yet. Yeah. Food That Built America is awesome. Did you ever see The Men Who Built America?
I did. That was like Carnegie.
It's the same basic premise. You have the same thing, except they follow the Heinz guy, the Hershey guy. They follow all the people, and they have their characters who play them.
That's great.
And the dramatizations and the stories. And
there's so much history in that stuff in America. Dude, you just don't think about.
I was watching the first episode. I'm like, how did I not know about this show? Like, it was crazy. They were talking about how, like, you know, right when the Industrial Revolution was starting and everybody was moving to the cities, they didn't have the infrastructure yet. They didn't have places to go and buy, you know, sustainable food. It just wasn't there. So they were selling people rotted steaks, and they would take your milk and they would put like laundry detergent into it, like bleach. Jeez. Almost to make it look whiter as it turned colors. And like, it was, they were feeding people death is what they were doing. And then, you know, Heinz came in and he tried to do it. And they tell the story about the challenges he went through. I mean, dude even got arrested at one point. Now, I'm telling you, I don't want to give up too much because it's worth watching. And I really appreciate Adam telling me the story telling me to watch the show on our show, because now I'm a fan of his show.
Now you're really into it.
Yeah, it's worth checking out. Everybody's always looking for the next big binge. So that's one you should check out.
How do you get History Channel shows? They have their own app.
Aren't they doing that Discovery Plus? Aren't they part of that
part
now?
Of Discovery Plus.
I don't know. I started watching the first episode on either Hulu or Philo or one of those that I watch it on. And
yeah, three of the episodes from last season you can watch online, and then the premiere of the new season is Sunday. So
okay,
the 14th. If you're listening to this later.
All right. By the way, I'm really bummed. Speaking of streaming, there is a series that was filmed at Fort Hood. Long Road Home, and it's amazing. It's from an amazing book, and it's basically the story of what's going on at home and what's going on overseas while these troops are deployed, and a crazy situation that went down. It was an amazing miniseries, and I can't find it anywhere. It is nowhere to be found. So, and I was thinking it was originally aired on National Geographic. I thought that would be on the National Geographic side of the Disney app. It's not. So if anybody knows where I can find that, let me know.
See,
I mean, I don't want to dive into the torrents.
You should have it on DVD.
I should have had it on DVD, because then I could stream it whenever I want. You're right.
Okay. Torque. You said torque.
Yeah,
torque.
You said torque.
This is what you get. It's a good size lady. I said, okay.
It's just,
I love our
best,
job.
Man.
I love our job. I love you guys. Have a great Valentine's weekend.
And she said, this is what you get.
That's what you get, guys.
It's what you get.
And she's a good-sized lady. I said, okay.
She's okay.
This is what you get.
This is what you get. Good-sized lady. Okay, here
right.
we go.
Thanks to O'Reilly Auto Parts for sponsoring the podcast. As always, you're awesome.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show.
This is what you get.
Yes, what you
this was the podcast, the but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show.
She's a good-sized lady.
On the radio every day.
It was the podcast. Hey, Adam Richman is joining us on the hotline. You remember him from Man vs. Food, where he eat all the, like, the competition kind of stuff. He'd eat all the, like, the big Texan steak or the, you know, I'm eating 1,000 oysters and then... So gross.
1,000 oysters.
I don't know.
That's a lot of oysters.
What's
man.
The most oysters you ever ate, Adam?
Well, first of all, I love y'all, so thank you for having me on. I'm trying to remember, I think it was 15 dozen at Acme Oyster House in New Orleans. And the most embarrassing thing was, so I had had a breakup. I was dating this girl in Alabama, and she and I broke up not too long before then. And I remember my whole crew went out to the casino in New Orleans where we were filming after the challenge, and I was talking to this girl. And the show hadn't aired yet, so no one really knew or cared who I was. And I'm talking to this girl. This random guy walks over and is like, careful, girl. He just had 15 dozen oysters. Man, why you gotta do that?
Is it true, Adam, before we move on to your new show, is it true that you had to stop doing Man vs. Food because, like, your doctor told you to quit?
No, no, that's just a vicious rumor. You know how the internet is.
All right. Well, okay. This new one is called The Food That Built America. That kind of you dive into the, like, the history of different foods. What's the gist of this?
Well, so what it is, it's about the iconic brands and the people behind them. So we hear Heinz, we hear Bird's Eye, we hear Kraft, and we never Hershey, but we never stop and remember that there's Milton Hershey, Clarence Bird's Eye were real people.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute, Clarence Bird's Eye?
That's a real person. And the thing is, all these innovations in frozen food came from a human being. And one moment of inspiration, he was ice fishing, and he realized because of the cold that when he reheated the fish, it still tasted fresh, and he realized that if he flash froze stuff under pressure, it was able to reheat well, it was able to preserve the flavor, and, you know, but the thing is, these are iconic brands. We hear Kraft, we never think about the person whose name is on the package. We never think about, you know, Milton Hershey, you know, having dairies and trying to build an iconic brand. We just think about the chocolate. Yeah. And I think what's cool is when you get the human element, you realize that these are, you know, husbands and wives and brothers and sisters, just like the rest of us that are just trying to hustle and a little bit of perspiration, a whole lot of inspiration.
Say it, visionary capitalist entrepreneurs.
What?
Exactly. But also the cool stories, like finding out that when it came to the founding of Domino's, one brother wanted out, and he was content to just make for his half of the business. He took the Volkswagen Bug they were using as a delivery vehicle, and then he gave his half of the company up, which is worth $800 million in exchange for a Volkswagen vehicle.
Dude, that happened in my hometown. There was a little chicken place, and the two partners in the business were kind of like wanting to do different things. One said, let's go and let's branch out and start having all these other little subsidiaries all over. And the other guy goes, no, I want to stay local. This is what I want. So they split it. He said, okay, well, fine. You can have this store, and I'm going to start the other stores with the same recipe. It became Popeyes.
Is that right?
Yeah, for real.
That's the thing that I love. Like, even the little stories, because this season, instead of just being about individual brands, is about the partnerships and about the competitions. But even little things, like how the founders of Pizza Hut took over this random business for a couple $100. They got a sign from Coca-Cola that could only fit 8 letters on it, and they knew 5 of the letters had to be pizza. So the only thing, they were like, Pizza Pit? No. And that's really how they got the name. And the cool thing is that doing Modern Marvels is very much like the continuation. So it's all well and good to talk about how Good Humor and Popsicle made ice cream popular and made it available. But what does that mean for us in the 21st century? So we get to go to Turkey Hill and work with the great-grandson of the dairy farmer who created it and find out how, in the modern era, you make something food safe, make something that appeals to everyone's, you know, different taste buds, different allergens, different whatever, and make something delicious that still tastes like it came out of grandma's churn.
I love Modern Marvels. That's the other show. It's history, man. I was banking on the History Channel. History Channel just has a whole ledger.
I'll tell you,
Adam Ledger.
They broke my heart when they took when they finished the series for Vikings.
I know.
I mean, so Adam, you have to fill my History Channel void.
I promise we will. The technology like broke my brain. We filmed at the Army base where it's like a secret lab where they create the MREs and the rations for the warfighters, and they use stuff like ultrasonic knives and edible 3D printing, and it's just it's like going to Willy Wonka's factory.
Oh, that's so cool.
I want to see that.
Dude, Adam, thanks so much. The Food That Built America, also Modern Marvels. Check that out as well on the History Channel. Adam, all the best to you, man. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you so much. Keep up the good work. Love listening to y'all.
See you, man. Bye-bye.